right. Our next speaker is Ms. Wilson, and she'll be speaking on the effect of diverse compost products on potato productivity and soil quality.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Carolyn, and today I'm going to be talking about some of the preliminary results from a study I'm doing with my supervisors at Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia, Canada, and with Agriculture Agri-Food Canada as well. So potatoes are a really important commodity in the province of New Brunswick, located in the eastern part of Canada, just to the north of the state of Maine. And so potatoes represent about 23% of farm cash receipts in the province and valued at over $140 million, particularly in the processing and frozen industries. And so what producers in the province have been seeing over the past few decades is really this kind of stagnant yield increase. And so if we take a look at potato yields for the last 35 years, what we can see is that they're really kind of hovering below the 40 tons per hectare a range, you know, increasing at an average of about 0.2 tons per hectare per year. So considering how many increased inputs are going into this system, this is kind of a sad story. And really what it boils down to is this declining soil quality. So when we're thinking about a high quality soil, particularly in potato production, we want a soil that is going to be able to retain and recycle nutrients, allow that water to infiltrate, as well as perhaps having this biological role in terms of a healthy microbial community. But when we have intensive potato production, which is commonly seen in New Brunswick, is that we're really putting a lot of tillage, we're putting limited organic matter back into the soil, and we're really constraining that functioning that would help that soil become productive. And so this is just some pictures to display what I'm talking about. And so after planting in the spring, we're seeing these big rainfall events and having erosion. We're seeing the seed pieces and the coarse material at the top of the slopes, and we're seeing the deposit of that finer material at the bottoms of the slopes. So this is really creating some challenges for producers. We're seeing pathogens build up because we're using these shorter rotations, and so we really need to figure out how we're going to reverse these trends. And so really kind of the crux of this issue is really building back up that soil organic matter. And how are we going to do that? So there's a number of different practices that farmers can use. So, you know, reducing your tillage, using longer rotations, less frequent use of potato in the rotations, increasing the crop residues, using green manures, and through the addition of organic amendments such as compost. And so this is the method that I looked at in my research study. And so if you take a look at the literature, compost really has shown a plethora of benefits in terms of soil chemistry, biology, as well as physics. So in terms of really increasing that plant nutrient uptake, enhancing the soil biology, perhaps even suppressing soil-borne diseases, and also helping build that soil, helping it in order to hold water and increase aeration. And so it seems like compost could be a silver bullet, but unfortunately not all composts are the same. And what we see is a lot of inconsistencies in different studies between different products and different systems. And so compost can supply nutrients, but also kind of mobilize them in the short term. We can suppress disease, but in some studies we actually see that disease pressures have increased through compost. So really we see this variability. And so this is where our study stems from, is really digging into different types of compost to see if we can draw some conclusions about, you know, the properties of that compost we're applying and the effects on soil quality and potato productivity. So what we did two field trials, both randomized complete block designs. We had six treatments, five different types of compost, and one unamended control. We applied the products at 45 tons per hectare dry weight in the fall of 2014, and we cropped to potato the following spring. And so we, as I mentioned, we did a fertilized trial. So this fertilized trial had the compost applied as well as a full inorganic nutrient application, and the unfertilized trial just had this compost product applied. And so we did a number of soil quality and yield assessments. And so these are the five products we chose, all the way from a forestry residues compost with a carbon-nitrogen ratio of 63, to the other end where we had a source-separated organic. So this would be a municipal waste, green bin waste, at a carbon-nitrogen ratio of 10. So really a more nitrogen-rich product. In the middle there, we had a marine with shellfish. And this was our kind of our highest ash product. Had a lot of, you could see visually the shells in this compost product. And then we had two poultry manures, one of them with a little more forestry waste than the other. And so we applied these composts by hand, ensuring a nice uniform application. We tilled it in, we grew our potatoes. You could see the soil was quite stony. We did some plant sampling, a number of other yield analysis as well. And we also did our soil quality evaluations. And so we really wanted to choose a range of indicators that would really take into account these functions that we were interested in. And so these are just a selection of the assessments that we chose. And so in blue are kind of these physical associated properties, water holding capacity, aggregate stability. We did some resistance to penetration measurements as well. We think about the green, more of your biological indicators. We looked at organic carbon, microbial biomass, and a number of others. And we also did some chemical analysis, although this was less our focus on cation exchange capacity and amongst others. And so what I wanted to spend the last couple of minutes discussing was just a couple of key preliminary results from our first year of the trial. And so here would be the soil organic carbon measured in the year after these composts were applied. Most of these values range from about 20 to 23 grams per kilogram soil. These are the compost treatments arranged in terms of increasing carbon. So the first product, the FPMC, would have been the lowest carbon product. And so we can see is that on the other end, your source-separated organics and the forestry residues resulting in that significantly different increase over the control in terms of the soil organic carbon. And this kind of mirrors the results for saturated hydraulic connectivity as well. So this was represented by the blue bar. Bars with different letters would be significantly different according to protected Fisher's LSD. And so what we can see is that really kind of two of these treatments kind of emerge as superior in terms of these soil quality benefits. Source-separated organics and the forestry residue compost, both relatively higher in terms of carbon. So if we take and plot these two measurements, the saturated hydraulic connectivity and the soil organic carbon, we can see typically these composts that had these more carbon-rich resulted in these greater improvements. And so really this makes sense. So just changing gears a little bit to highlight some of the nutrient effects, we also measured petiole nitrate concentration. So this is a relatively consistent indicator of the availability of nitrogen to these potatoes. And so we sampled petioles at four dates in the growing season, from mid-July to the start of September. And so in the black line, this would be based on previous studies above which suggest the plants have sufficient nitrate, below which are deficient. And so two kind of stories emerge. First of all, at the start of the season, one product, the source-separated organics, actually had significantly more petiole nitrate. And at the end of the season, we had two products that were significantly lower, and they fell below the deficient line. And this was poultry manure compost and the forestry residues compost. So if we take a look back at the analysis, we can see that although these products had very different carbon to nitrogen ratios, they both had undetectable amounts of nitrate N, which is suggesting that these products were indeed not yet mature and perhaps immobilizing some of that nitrogen in the soil. And this was kind of further evidenced by our results from the unfertilized trial. So this would be a plant nitrogen uptake from the trial that only received compost, so no inorganic fertilizers. And so we see here, I've arranged the products in terms of increasing carbon to nitrogen ratio. So we can see that the source-separated organics compost had significantly more nitrogen in the tissue than the control. Perhaps that product is supplying nitrogen. And on the other end of the spectrum, the forestry residues compost had significantly less. indicating perhaps a nitrogen net immobilization there. And this was really, although there was only 5 sample points, this was really a strong correlation between the carbon-nitrogen ratio in the compost and that nitrogen uptake in kilograms per nitrogen per hectare in the unfertilized trial. And so just kind of as a summary of these results is we did see improvements in the year after application in terms of the amount of organic carbon as well as the water infiltration and in the nitrogen uptake. So this is really key that we can see these impacts, you know, in the year after application. The other key response was that these products varied in their response. And so we did see that products higher in carbon tended to have these greater effects. And we also saw the product with the higher carbon-nitrogen ratio perhaps immobilizing some of that nitrogen. So just to touch lightly on the yield, we actually did not see a yield response in this growing season. But yields were a bit lower than we expected based on grower yield. So we were about 30 tons per hectare. But we did have a major infestation of our lovely friends, the Colorado potato beetle, as well as late planting. So in conclusion, we did see an impact of compost on soil quality as well as nutrient availability. But despite these benefits, we did not see it translate into effect on yield. But we did see favorable moisture conditions. And it's said in the literature that the benefits of compost are often more observed during a drier year. So perhaps that was the issue. And so really driving home that higher carbon, low carbon nitrogen ratio product perhaps being our most beneficial. And so really, we really need to figure out a solution in New Brunswick to conserve and enhance our soil organic matter. Compost is one way to do it. Is it the best strategy? Is it the only strategy? Still lots of work to be done here. So this is just acknowledgement to my funding. Thank you. In the compost products? I think we applied 180 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. And the compost products applied, just off the top of my head, probably between 10 and 20. But, I mean, we didn't, when we made our fertilizer recommendations, we didn't take into account any availability of nitrogen from our compost.
Good question.
Right. And so I can just flip back quickly. In terms of the economics, really, this first product, the forestry residues, I mean, they're basically giving that away. I mean, that's just waste from their from lumber mills and this sort of thing, as well as the final product, the source of organics. But, I mean, this only tells part of the story. Looking at that source separate organics, we saw pieces of plastic, we saw needles. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting conversation to have there as well in terms of what's going to work.
Do we have any more questions for our speaker? All right, let's give our speaker a hand.